There used to be this term, some of you seasoned people know this term. You need to keep up with the Joneses. But you know what social media has done? It's amplified that to the extreme. People are focused on, where did my friends go on a trip? Where did they spend their money? Where did they eat at that fancy restaurant? And they follow through and try to do the same. That's the power of community. Now, how about this? The research also shows that the community that you're involved with, in other words, the people you're connected with in a close proximity, will greatly determine your habits. This study happened just a few years ago. It was a huge study that had 12,000 people that responded, and they tracked these people over 30 years. And what they concluded was that people greatly determine, those that we hang out with greatly determine our habits. The study found this, that if you had an overweight friend, the chance that you would be overweight increased by 57%. The opposite was true, though. If you had a friend who had recently significantly lost weight, they found that to a 90th percentile, that one of their three closest friends also lost a significant amount of weight. And the study went on to say that basically who we get our habits from is those that we associate with. So I'm going to put up a couple statements here just to round this out, to get us on the same page and see what you think. If I can have... it has my name on it. I'll read it here. My name shouldn't be there. On the top it says, 95% of our success and or our failure in life is determined by the people we habitually associate with. This comes from a sociologist from Harvard, Dr. David McClellan. 95%. Here's the next statement. There may be no more important predictor of the future you than to look at the community of the current you. So in other words, what that's saying is, if we want to know who we're going to be in 10 years, the best way to know who we're going to be in 10 years is who we're presently hanging out with today. That's a lot to chew on. Email me if you got pushback, feedback. I'd love to hear your thoughts. This is not me speaking. This is what studies are showing right now. Community really matters. Boy, did the man in Mark chapter 2 have a great community. Did you catch it? I'm assuming in our text this morning that he was in community with this four friends that carried him to Jesus. We don't know that for sure. We don't know the background of these five individuals. But I think that's a safe assumption, because look at the effort that they give to bring this man that they know to the feet of Jesus. Jesus is in his hometown, Capernaum, probably in his own home. That was his base camp for many, many years, we know. And the home is so filled with people that these four try to go through the front door, and it's packed and they can't get him in. So they get together and they say, we've got to bring our friend to Jesus. So what do? They go down to Home Depot and they get the supplies, and they take out part of the roof so that they can drop down their friend to the feet of Jesus. Do you see how much time and effort these friends are putting in to bring this man to Jesus? And the surprise for them is that when they drop this man down to Jesus, you see, Jesus doesn't heal him right away. I think the friends must have been saying, hey, we dropped him down not for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus. We dropped him down so that he could walk again. Don't forgive his sins. We want him to walk. But here's the thing. Go ahead and flip it to the next slide. I think my name's going to be up there too. I did that. I made that mistake. I apologize for that. But I can read it. The lesson of Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12 is this. Because the paralytic man was in a community of four people for sure, he was brought to Jesus. See, if he didn't have those friends, he never would have met Jesus. Which leads us to another statement here. A community that brings people to Jesus is the best kind of community.